So Genesis chapter 22, starting from verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham?" "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba. Riverbank, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Clay. Friends, it's pretty easy to trust God when life is simple and successful and sweet. It's easy to have faith and assurance, joy and hope when everything's going your way and you see nothing but good things ahead of you and it all makes sense and your plans just keep working out. But what about when life is tough? What about when things go terribly wrong over and over and over again? And your days are filled with pain and struggle and heartache and regrets? What about when you make a mess of it all? Or when tragedy strikes? When nothing makes sense and you just can't see the point anymore? What about when your faith is severely put to the test? Could you still trust God when life falls apart? When the future looks bleak? When death comes knocking at your door? Well, as we think about this, we get to the very heart of Genesis chapter 22. For in this passage, Abraham's faith is stretched to its limit. And as it is, the Lord reveals to him that he can be trusted in every circumstance. Abraham learns in a very graphic way that the Lord will provide. And so in verse 1, we're told this is now some time later. In the last chapter, Isaac was born. But now he's a young man, and so at least a decade has passed. And we're told right up front that the point of the story is to show us that God tested Abraham. He calls out to him, and Abraham responds to the Lord readily and obediently. "Here I am," he replied. And then in verse 2, we find out what God wanted him to do. That is to sacrifice a burnt offering. Now, this in itself was nothing unusual. We first read of such offerings with Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4, and with Noah in Genesis chapter 8. Abraham too built altars to the Lord, starting in chapter 12, verse 7. The reason for this was because right from the very beginning, people learned and understood that to worship and to connect with and to draw near to the Lord requires sacrifice, costly, valuable sacrifice. Because he is a holy God. He is a pure God. He is a blameless God. And our filthy sins make us unworthy to enter into his presence, unworthy to have a relationship with him. And so atonement needs to be made. But the shocking thing about God's command is the nature of this particular burnt offering, because God calls on Abraham to sacrifice his boy, Isaac. And he uses four terms to describe him. The Lord says, "Take your son, your own flesh and blood, your precious child." He says, "Take your only son, not one of many, but your only single offspring, your only support, your only heir." He says, "Take the son whom you love, this child for whom you have such tenderness and care and affection." And he says, "Take Isaac. Take the very one over whose birth you laughed with joy, because I promised him for so long, because I miraculously caused his conception in your and Sarah's old age, and because I told you that he was the one through whom all of my glorious promises would be fulfilled." Can you even imagine the shock and the distress and the pain and the heartache and the confusion and the turmoil that Abraham must have felt? There are people in this church who've experienced the unspeakable pain of losing a child, whether as a baby or whether later in life. But can you even begin to imagine the absolute horror of being called upon to cause that very loss yourself? God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain I will show you." Abraham knew that sacrifice was costly. But surely this cost was way too high. How could he give up his own boy, his beloved, cherished son? How could he give up the very one through whom God said he was going to provide descendants as numerous as the dust of the earth and the stars in the sky, and a beautiful and prosperous land, and blessing to all of the nations? Abraham's faith was put to the ultimate test. But he already demonstrated his trust by responding immediately and unquestioningly. It says, early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. It says, on the third day, Abraham looked up and he saw the place in the distance. 3 days. That's a long time to walk and to ponder and to change your mind, isn't it? But he didn't. And then verse 5. He said to his servant, "Stay here with the donkey. while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham was willing to do whatever God told him, even if it made no sense. But Abraham also knew that somehow God would be true to his word. He trusted that somehow both he and Isaac would return. Do you know what it says in Hebrews 11? It says, "By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, 'It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned.'" Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. Now that is incredible faith. But then we're told of the agonizing last steps of this journey and of this heart-wrenching conversation. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said. "But where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. Can you imagine Isaac with a hint of naivety and an unwavering confidence in his dad asking this loaded question? And again, Abraham shows complete and unreserved trust. "God himself will provide," he says. This man, he'd had his ups and downs in faith, hadn't he? We've been seeing that so clearly over the last couple of months. But now he reaches a point where he relies on God so completely that he knows that everything's going to be all right, even when it seems impossible, even when the entire situation that lay before him says it can't be all right. And from verse 9, the narrative slows right down. It says, when they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. And he bound his son Isaac and he laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And then he reached out his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. What immense anguish he must have felt. God required sacrifice, most costly sacrifice. And even though every fiber of his being must have been screaming out for him to stop, Abraham still trusted his friend. Abraham still trusted his Lord. But at the very last moment, God intervened. Abraham was about to plunge that knife into his own dear son. He was about to commit the most heartbreaking act that any decent person ever could. He was about to put an end to all of his and Sarah's hopes and dreams. He was about to put an end to all God's covenant promises. Verse 11. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied again. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." The Lord tested Abraham's faith. He stretched it to its very limit. But Abraham's faith proves to be authentic and true. For he trusted the Lord, even in the most impossible situation. What greater respect and commitment and love could he have shown to God than his willingness to even give his own son? But then it's revealed that Abraham was in fact right all along. when he set out in obedience, when he didn't change his mind along the way, when he told his servants that somehow they would both return, when he told Isaac that the Lord would provide, and when he was completely willing to go through with this disturbing act. Verse 13, Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and he took the ram and he sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. And so Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." God required sacrifice, costly sacrifice. But in the end, he himself supplied an alternative, a replacement, a substitute. In the end, he provided that young ram, a lamb from God, who took Isaac's place. And Isaac was spared. Can you comprehend Abraham's joy as that lamb was given and his son was saved? And so he called that place, "The Lord will provide." Abraham believed and he trusted. And he lived out his belief and his trust in absolute obedience to God's will. Do you know what it says in James chapter 2? It says, "You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar?" You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, "Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend." True faith is faith that is lived out in real life. And in the rest of our passage, we discover the result. For because of his unreserved trust, Abraham would now receive everything that God had promised. Verse 15, "The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, 'I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me.'" But is that all there is to this story? Is it simply a lesson about Abraham and his faith? Or is there something deeper that we need to think about today? Well, let me tell you, there most certainly is. There's a lot more to this story than meets the eye. You see, there's an interesting fact about the place where all of this happened. For we're told in verse 2 that it was on a mountain in the region of Moriah. This is where the Lord provided. But you know, about 1,000 years later, there was another rare mention of this place in 2 Chronicles chapter 3. In 2 Chronicles chapter 3, it says, "Then Solomon began to build the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah." This was the very spot, my friends, that would later be called Jerusalem. And it was Jerusalem where the Lord's temple would be built. And it was Jerusalem that it would become the epicenter of Israel's worship. And thus it was Jerusalem where the people brought sacrifices over hundreds and hundreds of years before the Lord. But about another 1,000 years later, another sacrifice would be made, again in Jerusalem, the greatest of all. And this is what the entire story is pointing to. Because you see, my friends, there was going to be another event involving a father and a son. But this time the Father is the Lord Almighty and the Son is Jesus Christ. Genesis 22 compels us to reflect deeply on the intimate, tender, loving relationship between Abraham and Isaac. But what about the relationship between God the Father and God the Son? God's Son, His only Son, the Son whom He loves, Jesus. Matthew chapter 3 says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, He went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on Him. And a voice from heaven said, this is My Son whom I love. With Him I am well pleased. How often do we reflect on the depth of love between Almighty God and His one and only Son? But God also accompanied His Son on a journey, not of 3 days, but of 3 years, as they made their way toward Mount Moriah, the place of sacrifice. Luke chapter 9 says, as the time approached for Him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And God placed the wood upon His Son for Him to carry, and then placed His Son upon that wood. John 19, carrying His own cross, He went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. Here they crucified Him, with two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. For Jesus, there was no last-minute reprieve. For while Isaac pictured the sacrifice that was needed, and while all those animals offered through the centuries pictured the sacrifice that was needed, it was Jesus who was that sacrifice. There was no lamb to take His place because He was the lamb that had been promised. John chapter 1, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so while Abraham did not slay his boy in the end, the Lord our God most certainly did. With tears in his eyes, he placed his beloved Son upon that cross where he would bear not only extreme physical torment and death, but also the indescribable pain of his own wrath against human sin. My friends, it was on that altar that Jesus suffered the very fires of hell. And why? Well, because just like that ram, he was the alternative, the replacement. Jesus was the only one who did not deserve this fate, but yet he did so as a substitute, as our substitute, as the substitute for all who believe. Mark chapter 10, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Should have been us. Should have been us bearing God's punishment and paying for our own rebellion and iniquity with eternal torment. But yet Jesus was willing to take our place, to pay our ransom on that cross. 1 John chapter 4 says, this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Congregation, if we're in awe of what Abraham was willing to do, well then how much more in awe must we be at what our God was willing to do and what our God actually did do for wretched sinners like us. What greater love could there be than the love of our Heavenly Father giving His own precious Son in our place? What greater love could there be than the love of Jesus, willing to give up His life, willing to suffer immensely for you and me? We might be tempted to think that Genesis 22 is about the Lord commanding Abraham to do something terrible and at the last second preventing it. But no, that's not the point. Genesis 22 is about the Lord using the prospect of something so terrible to teach Abraham and to teach us the most profound truth. For in this passage, He is pressing home to each one of our hearts and our souls just what He has done for the sake of our salvation. Because of Jesus, we can be counted among Abraham's children, saved by faith, saved to be God's people. Because of Jesus, we can look forward to that promised land where we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And because of Jesus, not just us, but all nations will receive God's richest blessings. Friends, it really is easy to trust God when life is simple and successful and sweet. But what about when life's tough? What about when your faith is genuinely and ruthlessly put to the test? God tested Abraham's faith. He stretched it to breaking point. But yet Abraham trusted and Abraham obeyed. He clung to his Lord with such confidence in His love and compassion. He was sure that somehow He was going to provide. And He did, giving a lamb to take Isaac's place. But what about you? What about me? Maybe you're in a season of life where everything's smooth sailing. Well, I hope that in these good times that your faith will not fail. But maybe you're in a season of hardship, or a season of illness, or a season of failure, or a season of despair. Maybe you know that right now your trust in God is being tested and tried. And you're wondering, will the Lord really provide? Well, this morning we're reminded that the answer is yes. Yes, He will. And He proved it to us at the cross. For at the cross He provided the one thing that we need more than anything else in this life. The one thing that changes everything. For He provided the Lamb of God, sacrificed for us. For in the cross of Christ, my friends, we find complete forgiveness for all of our failures. And in the cross of Christ, we find a wonderfully restored relationship with our Maker. And in the cross of Christ, we find the certain hope of everlasting life. And in the cross of Christ, we find the strength to cope with whatever life throws at us. What does it say in Romans 8? What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither life nor death, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Sisters and brothers in Christ, The Lord's promises are certain, and His blessings are sure. He's proven it to us in the past, and we can wholeheartedly trust Him for the future. Our faith may well be stretched, and we may not always understand His ways, but yet we can declare with Abraham, the Lord will provide. Let's pray. Father, we come to You now with all of our troubles and all of our trials, with all of our fears and all of our failures. And we readily admit that so often our faith is deeply tested. Lord, we can wonder how You could ever love us, wonder whether You will truly do what You've promised, wonder if You're going to come through for us in the end. And so we pray, please give us the faith of Abraham to trust You even when life doesn't make any sense, even when we face heartache and tragedy, even when everything's going wrong. Father, give us the faith to know that You will provide, that You'll walk with us every single day, that Your love will never fail, and that in the end You will take us to glory. Lord, please impress this truth upon our hearts today. Give us peace and joy and hope. Give us assurance and give us trust in You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.